You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Welcome to a Monday. It's a full-on Monday, too. Wet Monday. Oh, my gosh. A post-Super Bowl Monday. And Big Rig's on the board. Hey, man, how are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So it was not much of a Super Bowl weekend for you.
No, it was sleeping.
Well, it was the perfect weather for sleeping. I mean,
yeah.
Lord, that's like built for naps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how y'all nap, though. You got small kids at the house. How do you ever get a nap?
Shifts.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You take turns.
My turn. Okay, I get it. All right. Yeah, good enough. Anyway, good weekend, though?
Yeah,
good weekend. All right. Well, let's do a Monday. 3 o'clock today, by the way, Stephanie Smith going to call in. Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. They've got a brand new report out about the details of this new gambling bill, which, by the way, has its first public hearing tomorrow in the House. They are not wasting time, y'all. When you see something move this fast, you can tell that they've got a desire to either, A, get shed of it, or B, try to get it passed ASAP. Well, I suspect their goal right now is try to get it passed ASAP. And that bill, y'all, it's horrible. We'll talk about it in detail at 3 o'clock with Stephanie Smith. And by the way, when I say it's horrible, let's pretend it's not even a gambling bill. Let's just pretend it's like, oh, I don't know, a grocery store bill. It is that bad. Anyway, that's 3 o'clock, Stephanie Smith. I'm going to do that in conjunction with the first dipper. So I got a triple dipper. Go ahead and hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, in conjunction with that conversation with Stephanie Smith at 3, rolling the dice. Oh, yeah, they are rolling the dice on a gambling bill. And y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, this thing's got problems. But you know what? A few years ago, I'd say this thing doesn't have a snowball's chance. But then I'm looking at the group down there now who passed the gas tax by ramming it through during an immediate special session without any, you know, real warning. And then they also, by the way, passed the Cannabis Commission Act, which, by the way, was an awful bill that said, you know, a whole lot of things that Republicans say they don't stand for. So number one, triple dipper, we'll talk about it, rolling the dice. All right, number two, the cost of mass migration. We are looking right now at true mass migration on the southern border. And with that, though, you cannot say there is not a cost. Now, conservatives, we're not saying that. Liberals, though, they're like, well, you know, but they're crying now because we're beginning to see the pain in their local budgets, the pain in their extended resources, the pain in their disrupted communities. We're going to talk about it, the costs of mass migration. I got examples from all corners of the United States. And then number three, I don't know what else to call it. Except the feeble administration. That's where we are. We have a feeble administration. Not like just purely feckless. Not like there's liberal progressives. Not like I disagree with them. They're just feeble, man. And it's not good. It leaves us all in a position where we are somewhat exposed because we've basically got, a feeble administration without the ability to stand up and make the right kind of decisions. All right, we're going to jump into my monologue here. Let me just remind you guys, too, by the way, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. You can find them in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, sees all ages. And by the way, they are the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue, and we're glad of it. Okay, let's talk about decision-making for a minute. I remember back when I was a young cadet working my way towards an Army commission. We used to go through classes on leadership, seminars on decision-making, but the best crucibles for actually putting that book learned into work was what were often called leadership reaction courses. We would have these crazy problems to solve, often with a physical risk or an aspect like lifting heavy weights or falling in water or moving something too big to carry. Working as a team, responding to an enemy action. But invariably, though, in these leadership reaction courses, there'd be a moment when a cadet would just like momentarily freeze up, unsure what to do next. And that's when the instructors would pounce and start yelling, "Make a decision, cadet. Make a decision. People are going to die if you just sit there. What are you going to do? Make a decision, cadet. Never mind. Stop. You're dead, cadet. You're in charge now. Take charge. What do you do? Make a decision, cadet." I mean, it was tense. And it was also a motivator. But it was also true. Indecision can kill you, and worse yet, it can kill others. Life is filled up with choices, external stimuli, and crucible moments. But there's also a point when decision-making capability can be degraded down to near or even total ineffectiveness. That point when the person is pushed past their own personal limitations. Generally speaking, it's far beyond that what we might have believed of ourselves, but I'll be honest with you, I've experienced it firsthand multiple times. Like, for instance, at the U.S. Army Ranger School, I was pushed to the limits I didn't know I had. Ranger School is much more about leadership and decision-making under stress as it is about raids and ambushes and patrolling. Putting together a platoon operations order and planning for an operational movement plan and actions on the objective when you haven't eaten or slept in days can degrade your mental capacities more than you can imagine. I remember once going for 3 straight days without sleeping or eating, but yet never once slowing down or rarely even sitting. After 72 hours without sleep, I was literally seeing things that weren't there. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I know I saw garden gnomes running through the trees. I can still picture them. I can see them in my mind's eye. Creepy little beggars with red hats running from tree to tree. I kid you not. But that training was done with a point. To teach us that we can lead, we can fight, we can make decisions even when stress levels are higher than anything we've ever been through. It was training in peacetime for decisions in war, and I've been glad many times since then that I went through it, garden gnomes and all. But what about those times, though, when you're under fire and subject to somebody else's decision-making? Someone else who has maybe never done anything hard, has no stress-induced decision-making experience, or worse yet, they have no training, no experience, but they also evidence an obvious mental or physical inability to stand up to the stresses that they're under in the first place, much less to make decisions that benefit those who they're supposed to lead. When decisions need to be made, we need leaders who have not only trained for the ability to endure great stress, but leaders who also know how to compartmentalize, to focus, to lean in, stand up, listen, understand, make a decision. The reason why this type of training is so crucial is because the natural tendency that all people have is to lock down. Fight or flight, it's a response that often has to be trained to be overcome. It is not natural to want to endure pain or discomfort, nor is it natural to be clear-headed when everything around you is going up in flames. People naturally drop into denial or fall into emotions. It takes training to get past those natural but yet debilitating responses. Well, more than ever right now, in this world that we're living in, we need leaders with the ability to rapidly adapt to changing circumstances and to pivot when needed to the next needed action. We need leaders who can execute decision-making in what is known as the OODA loop. OODA, O-O-D-A, the OODA loop. In the 1950s, U.S. Air Force pilot Colonel John Boyd, he coined the term the OODA loop. It's an acronym. It stands for Observe, Orient, Decide, and Act. It's a decision-making process that technically we all go through every day, but Colonel Boyd, he made it a formal teaching point. He became known as the fighter pilot who changed the art of war. You see, Boyd believed that when at a disadvantage in a dogfight against a superior enemy or rapidly changing circumstances, that a competent pilot could still overcome his disadvantages by attacking the mind of his opponent, by trying to stay ahead of them in the decision-making. Boyd would train his pilots to literally make stress-based decisions, work on their response times, project what the enemy was going to do next. As a result, his fighter pilots in the Korean War had a 10-to-1 kill ratio over superior enemy MiG-15s that they were up against. But to do that, he taught them all what's known as the OODA loop. First, you observe a situation. I mean, you might engage your other senses, but you actually need to see what's happening because the mind processes the visual so much more accurately. For instance, you might hear a gunshot but not see the shooter, but once you've located the source of the gunshot with your eyes, then you can immediately begin to do the next thing, which is to orient yourself. You orient yourself to the shooter. Then you decide your next steps. That's the D, decide. What needs to be done in response to what I just observed and oriented myself to? And finally, there's the last piece, the A. You need to act on the decision you just made. But even then, the processes run in a loop. So observe, orient, decide, act. No good. Pivot. Still observing. Reorient. Decide. New action. You're doing this constantly. And when you make it a formal process and you've trained for it, it becomes it's like second nature. It's not reckless activity, by the way. We're not talking about putting trained responses into play. It's not letting the moment put you into paralysis is what it is. It's the ability to stand up under constantly evolving external stimuli and create the ability to navigate through them. It's leadership under stress is what it basically is. And I'll be honest with you, it's something we don't have in the White House right now. This past week, we've talked about it. This past week, a report came from the Office of Special Counsel Robert Hur. Hur was appointed by Biden's own attorney general to conduct an investigation into President Biden himself about the mishandling of classified documents. He did, in fact, Hur did, find that Biden had willfully mishandled classified materials that were related to matters of national security. But it was what Hur said about Biden himself that has thrown the world into a holy crap moment. It said that Biden is a, quote, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Basically, he just called Biden feeble. Not old, not inexperienced, feeble. Remember when I said earlier the decision-making can be degraded, that the ability to respond to external stimuli, while able to be a matter of training, it can also be degraded when the physical person can no longer keep up with the mental requirements. Well, the problem we face right now with our current commander-in-chief is twofold. He is, in fact, in a degraded state, and he lacks any formal training on critical decision-making. Both. Biden is the man who's in charge of decisions that affect all of us, and yet there's no evidence that he's ever been trained to make decisions under duress. He's never been trained to observe, orient, decide, and act. He's been trained to put aside his fight or flight responses? Apparently not. And now we add to that lack of training a written testimony that he has apparently reached a degraded state. He's seeing garden gnomes in the trees and doesn't have any idea what to do about it. Decisions under fire are what leaders, real leaders, are not just born for, it's what they're trained for. And that training needs to take them beyond their own limits, show them what it means to make decisions under duress, how to engage the OODA loops of the everyday and the not-so-everyday, how to lead. And when that leader is one who has been degraded, then it comes time to replace them. And we are in that position right now. We have Biden in office. He lacks the training. He's also been degraded. And it's time for new leadership. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, the OODA loop. Observe, orient, decide, act. Do it again if you have to. I mean, Biden, as far as we know, has never had a job that required him to truly be in charge of people and make crisis decisions. And yet here he is. He's the guy who signs all of it now, right? Well, without the training, and when you add to it the degraded, it's a bad combination. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.